It's all by the grace of God. And we have to be thankful for life. And for us believers, if we are still alive, we are here on earth, it's because we have a purpose to accomplish. And that's something that we need to understand, that I'm still on earth because I have a purpose here on earth. You know, I'm not just here to live and enjoy myself and just, you know, just go about life every day. You know, whatever happens, happens. No, we need to be intentional in our living because God has a reason why he has kept us here. And so we need to find out what is our purpose. What are we here for? What are we supposed to be doing for God? You know, Pastor Rob mentioned, he talked about prayer and talking about there are things that you think, okay, I can't go to India, you know, to go and preach the gospel there. But there are things that we can do. Even being in the comfort of our own homes, we can pray for others. We can pray for our country. We can pray for our neighborhood. We can pray. Pastor Rob was saying, when you look at the world, things are bad. And we as believers, we have the responsibility to pray. If we want to see change, we have to engage in prayer. And that's something that each and every one of us can do. Amen. You don't need to pray in the King James language, thou art and all the art. You know, just prayer is just conversation with God, talking to God. You might be, you know, cooking and just be talking to the Lord. He is there. You might be driving and just be talking to the Lord. Engaging in other activities and just be talking to the Lord. Hallelujah. If we all, if the body of Christ decide to engage in prayer, honestly, there will be changes. And for those who can fast, you add to it fasting. You know, it will be powerful. We will see changes. Not just in our lives, but around us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we just want to bless your name again once more. Lord, we want to thank you for all you've been doing since we started this service. We thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit, because without you, there is nothing that we can do. And we thank you for being here. We ask you that you will continue to take control over the rest of the service. Lord, as your word comes forth, Father, speak through me. And Lord, speak to us individually, Father. You know our hearts. Lord, you know what we need. And Lord, this word can comfort and each and every one of us. May each and every one of us receive, Father, what they need from this word. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm excited. This is 2025, and I'm just excited, like, God, what do you have in store for me? I'm excited for the things that I think I want to do for the Lord. And you know, when I pray, it's like, Lord, how can I reach out people for you? Lord, what is it that I can do for you? What is it that I can do to bring glory to your name? Guess what? Because a life without purpose is a life, to me, is a life without fulfillment. If you have no purpose in life, you wouldn't have any kind of fulfillment. And that's why you see people out there, you know, they go from one thing to the other, one thing to the other. Why? Because they have no purpose. Amen? And we understand and discover our purpose when we come to Christ. When you know Jesus, God is the one who created us. He knows us. He knows the reason why he sent us on earth. You know, we need to go back to him and begin to ask him, God, what do you want me to do? In this time and season, what is there that you want me to do? Because our purpose or our assignment might change, you know, depending on the season in which we are. There are seasons that he will ask you, okay, this is what you have to do right now. And in other seasons, he will be like, okay, Ella, this is what I want you to do. And we just have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to know what he wants us to do and why he's speaking to us, that we can hear him and know what he's saying. Amen? This is not part of my message, but I just believe that. You know, when you say Holy Spirit, take control, you just follow what he's saying. Amen. So we're looking at Luke chapter 1. Last week, Pastor Rob kind of introduced the chapter to us. And one thing that I love, Pastor Rob said, he said, this is the word of God. He said, when you approach the word, when we read the word, we need to read the word with the belief that everything here is true. Amen. that everything in the word is true. Because if we don't read with that belief, you know, that approach, things are not going to happen in our life. Inasmuch as the word of God is true, if we read it, you know, without faith or without believing, therefore we will not see the manifestation of the word in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to see the manifestation of the word in my life. When I'm reading the word of God, if it's true, Lord, I want that in my life. When I'm reading a verse, you know what? I want to see that in my life. Amen. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Approaching the word of God, knowing that the word of God is true. And I like to say that the word of God is not a Chinese buffet or, I don't know, Indian buffet or whatever. It's not a pick and choose. Because some people will be like, okay, this is okay for me. I choose to apply this in my life. And these are the part of the word, that's not for me. No, everything in the word is for us. There are scriptures there. It's true. It's hard when you look at the Bible says, you know, God says, be holy as I'm holy. And there are things that we're holding on to. There are some habits that we're holding on to. And we think, you know what? No, that's not for me. I love this part of my life so much that I don't want to surrender it to God. You know, I love the pleasure of this. I don't want to give it to God. No. If the Bible says, be holy as I'm holy, we need to live a sanctified life. So if there are areas that when we read the word of God and we think, you know what, this is not the reflection of my life. What we do is we go back to God, speak and ask, Lord, I am struggling with this. And we have to be truthful. We have to be truthful. Because the truth is God knows you. He knows everything we are engaging into. He knows. So we can't tell him a lie. But it's good when we go to him and say, Lord, I am struggling with this sin. Lord, I'm struggling with this behavior. I need you. Why? Because I want to be like you. I want to be like you, Jesus. And I've tried on my own. I can't change myself. I need you to change me. And guess what? He will do it. If we do that, you know, with all our heart, sincerely, the Lord is going to work in our lives and he's going to change us. Hallelujah. So let's read. I'll start reading us from verse 5 because Pastor Rob kind of set the scene and told us about Luke and everything about him. So I'll just keep that part and I'll start reading us from verse 5. He says, there was in the day of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, I hope that's the way you read it. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandment and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. I'll just stop there for now. I mean, this is the chapter is a long chapter, like Pastor Rob said last week. I'm just going to pick out some of the verses that the Holy Spirit kind of impressed on my heart. So from what we read, it says that Zachariah was a priest. He was married to Elizabeth. They were walking in righteousness. They were righteous before God, you know. And they were living, they were obeying all the ordinances of the Lord. And they were living a life that pleased God. Amen. This is so powerful. They were doing their best to walk in the ways of God. And that's just what I said before. You know, God wants us to live a life that brings glory to his name. Is unfortunately, many of us profess to be children of God. You know, Sunday we come to church, we worship God, but when we leave the church, Monday to Saturday, our lives out there does not reflect who we are. And that's the reason why some people will not give their life to Christ. Because there are people that they look at us as Christians, they think, wow, if being a Christian is that, there's no point. Because this person is not different from me. Maybe the only difference is the fact that they profess they are Christian, where they can quote scriptures. But actually, that does not reflect in their lives. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, Apostle Paul was writing to the Roman Christian. He says, I beseech thee Like, I beg you, I plead with you that you should offer your life to God as a living sacrifice, you know, pleasant and acceptable to him, which is a reasonable service of worship. I am begging you, please, please, offer your life to God as a living sacrifice. You know, when we talk about a sacrifice is not something that is pleasant. And in those days, what they were doing when they are sacrificing, they take an animal and everything, they put it on the altar, it burns. So when we offer our life to God as a living sacrifice, it means that it's not always going to be pleasant. It's not always going to be pleasant. There are times that it's going to hurt, because there will be things that, like I said earlier on, we're so attached to that we have to detach from them. There are habits that we are so used to that we have to detach, we have to put away. Verse 2 of Romans chapter 12 says this: do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but it says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. The world has a pattern. The world has a way of doing things. But when we come to Christ, we are different. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. So we need to engage in the process of renewing our mind, which means reading the word of God. Because while we were in the world, or we are still in the world, and there's so much going on. You know, sometimes you can read the news, or you can watch the news, and by the time you finish, guess what? You get so discouraged that if you don't go back and renew your mind with the word of God, you end up with your emotions being affected. And I'm telling you that sometimes it might even become difficult to pray because you have that going on in your mind. You know, the news said this is bad. The news said this is going to be bad. They're going to cut jobs. They're going to do this and do that. But then we need to go back and renew our mind with the word of God, knowing that, you know what? The government is not in control. Men are not in control of my life. God is in control of my life. He said that he's going to keep me. He said that he's going to protect me. He said that he's going to, you know, provide my need. Then when we renew our mind with the word of God, then we can carry on, you know, working in his way, the way he wants. Amen. They were blameless before God. And I really want to encourage us. The Bible says, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. We're living in the last days. I know someone said to me that, you know, they're always saying we're living in the last days. We are living in the last days. Maybe last days might not be you or all of us experience the coming of Jesus Christ, but we're going to exit the world at some point. It might be tomorrow for me. You might be seeing me here today, and tomorrow they call you and say, oh, Ella has passed. You say, oh, Ella. Oh, yes, because we don't know. We don't know. And the fact that Lou is saying, no, Lou, it is a fact. It's true. It's true. And I'll tell you the truth. I've come to terms with this, to understand that at some point we're going to exit this earth. At some point, the child that God gave me might go before me. It's not my desire, but it might happen. It happens to other people. So it's to know that I have to be ready, whatever be the time. Whether Jesus is coming or I am exiting the world before he's coming, I need to be ready. I want to spend my eternity with him. And there is nothing that is going to stop me. You know, Apostle Paul says what he says. Apostle Paul talk about crucifying the flesh. Crucifying the flesh, putting the flesh under subjection. And I'm telling you, you know, fighting Satan is easy. We have the word of God. You stand on the word of God. I take authority over you, Satan. I bind your powers and I destroy them in the name of Jesus. It works. But you know this flesh. Crucifying this flesh, it's not that easy. That we have to learn to say no and no and no to certain habit. And let me tell you the truth, it's a daily process. You can't say, I did it yesterday. I'm over with it. No. There are some habits that you thought they were gone, like for me. And then one day I realized myself, then I'm thinking, where is it coming from again? Yeah. Crucifying the flesh every day. Every day. Renewing our mind with the word of God every day. Hallelujah. Very important. And the Bible tells us that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth did not have children. They had no child. And they were walking blamelessly before God. They were doing what God wanted them to do, but they didn't have children. And someone would say, that's not fair. Why is it that they were doing everything and then God did not bless them with a child? And I will tell you, in the society where they live in those days, and even nowadays, having children is a big thing. You know, for some people, it's very important. But in the Jewish culture, it's more important even. You know, as a priest, you need to have a son that will carry on after you. And they had no children. They are walking blamelessly before God. They are doing everything that God wanted to do. And God is not blessing them with a child. And I'm trying to imagine that people around them probably said, I'm sure that is your fault. I mean, that's what happened. You know, you walk with God, you do everything, and there are some aspects of your life that people think are supposed to be reflecting in a certain way, and it's not happening, and they think, oh, that your God, are you sure that he's listening? Or are you sure that you've not done something wrong for God not to answer your prayer? Are you sure? And I believe they kept praying. They kept praying, believing God, until they got to their old age. Can you imagine that? You are a priest serving God, walking with God blamelessly, and you have no children. But he carried on serving God. And I love this is because it's why he was serving God that he had a visitation. And I want to speak to someone here. Maybe you find yourself in the place of Zechariah and Elizabeth like that. You have been praying and asking God and praying and making your requests known unto the Lord, and nothing is happening. And you are thinking, God, where are you? You know, some people might be tempted to throw the towel and thinking, this God thing, I'm not doing it again. You know what? People in the world are having it easy. Things are happening in their life. But the Bible says that we should not envy the wicked man who is prospering. Guess what? They might prosper on this earth, but their end is destruction, because they will go to hell if they don't repent. So we should not envy them. And I want to encourage you, keep serving God. Keep walking with God. Maybe God has not answered your prayer yet. You know, a delay is not a denial. Hallelujah. God is a God of timing, and his time is not like ours. The Bible says that 1,000 years for us is just like one day for God. So we need patience. So Zechariah kept serving God, and then he had an encounter with God. You know, at some point, the Lord said to Angel Gabriel, go down there. This is the time. This is the right time now to answer this prayer. Go and give him his reply. Hallelujah. I love that. Father, I think this is the right time to answer some of my prayers. So I'll just go to verse 15. He said, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many to the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the judge, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in age. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. and was sent to speak to you and bring you this glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my word, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Like I said, Zechariah had a visitation from Angel Gabriel. Angel Gabriel comes to him now and says, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Your wife is going to have a child. What I'm personally thinking is that maybe Zechariah was no longer praying for a child again. He was already old, because when we look at his response, the way he answered, how will I know this is going to happen? You know, I'm old and my wife is well advanced in age. He has prayed and prayed and prayed while he was young, thinking, okay, now I have the strength and my wife as well for us to have a baby. It didn't happen. And then now he's already old and thinking, I don't think this is possible. But you know, it's because he was a priest, but he should have understood that nothing is impossible with God. As Mary did, as we'll see later on. Nothing is impossible with God. But it's just like us, you know. There are times we pray about issues. We pray and pray and pray, and we get tired. You know, we put it on the shelf and thinking, I've had enough for now. Like I used to say, there are prayer topic that I pray, and then sometimes I just put it on the shelf. And then after like 2-3 weeks, sometimes even months, I remember again, I go back, I'm like, Father, and I bring them back. But the truth is, why we put them on the shelf, God doesn't. Amen? God doesn't. So sometimes there are prayers that we might have prayed even years back, and we have forgotten about them. God has not forgotten. And then he answers all of the sudden, and you think, wow, where is this coming from? No, it's because you've prayed and you forgot, but he didn't. You know, we live in time. God doesn't live in time. He lives in eternity. Amen? He doesn't forget anything. Amen? I think that's encouraging for us to know that there are prayers that we've prayed, probably forgotten, but God hasn't. And you know what? At the right time, he will send the answer. Hallelujah. Zechariah doubted. And the angel, what happened is that the angel mute his mouth. You know when you mute music and you mute what are your computer? When I was preparing the message, I was just laughing. And the angel said, okay, you're not going to speak. You're not going to speak. You didn't believe me. And the Bible says he was mute until the manifestation of what the angel said to him. And I was thinking, why was he mute? You know why? Because sometimes with our word, we can abort our miracles. Words are very powerful. The book of Proverbs 18 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. He that loveth it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we can speak life into our situation the same way we can speak death as well. Amen? So I believe that if he was left to speak, he would have aborted the miracle, because he did not believe. You know, it'd be like, I'm not sure Elizabeth can have a baby. You know, there won't be any hope to start with. But the Bible says that it happens. Hallelujah. It happens. So I don't know what you are expecting God from, but I just want you to tell you that it's possible. It's possible. Don't give up. God will do it, but in his own timing. And when we look at how John the Baptist came, you know, there are times we want things for ourselves. But like I said when I started, God is a God of purpose. God could have given them a child, but then that child wouldn't have fulfilled the purpose of God. So God waited. He knew, I will give you a child. I will give you John the Baptist. But this is a child of destiny. This is a child of purpose. It's not just for you to have a child and be like any other person. You know what? I have a son. No, this is a son who is going to fulfill the purpose that I have. You know, for my people, amen? And sometimes we might have to suffer certain, I wouldn't say injustice, but we might have to go through certain trials, certain periods of challenges, so that the purpose of God will be manifested. Amen? Remember what the angel said. John the Baptist is the one who came and prepared the way for Jesus. So look at the timing. 6 months after Elizabeth is pregnant, you know, the angel goes to Mary as well and deliver the news. You're going to be pregnant. You're going to give birth to a savior. And Elizabeth's son, who is John, is the one who is going to prepare the way. Just imagine. God is a God of timing. Hallelujah. And I want to add this, that in his waiting, God did not just give him any kind of child. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the waiting is worth it. You wait and you wait and you wait. I remember someone illustrated it this way, that if for women, we cook, right? We cook. Some men do as well. So when you want to prepare, there are certain dishes that you want to prepare. It'll take you less time, you know, really, really quick. But if you want to prepare something good and really delicious, it takes time. You know, it takes time, the spice and everything that you have to put in. It will take time and something really good is going to come out of it. Pastor Rob is smiling because Steppy is a chef. So you'll be waiting and Steppy, is that food not ready? Steppy said, no, you still have to wait some more. I've been waiting. And you know, you've been smelling, you know, the odor coming out of the kitchen. Why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long? Because it's not just any kind of dish. It's not just ordinary food. I'm doing something extraordinary. And I believe when Pastor Rob, you know, tastes the food, say, oh, it worth the waiting. Pastor Rob, sorry for picking on you, but we've all eaten Steppy's food here. That's the reason. And I know she is a good cook. You agree with me, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's worth the waiting. You know, God takes his time to give us his best. But I want us to remember that it's always about his purpose. It's not about us. It's about him. Amen. When we live for Christ, not for ourselves. Hallelujah. And you know, the angel went on to visit Mary. And he went to Mary. I don't want to have much time, but I would just go to verse 31. Where he says, and behold, and we will start from verse 29. He says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered, no, verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered her, and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I love what Mary said. Let it be done to me according to your word. You know, the angel goes and meet Mary and tell Mary the word that he actually used. You are honored by the Lord. You are highly favored. You're going to have a child. You know, let's just pause a little bit. You are favored. You are highly favored. You are honored. You are chosen. You're going to have a child. Now, Mary said, let it be done to me according to your will. But this in itself was going to obstruct Mary's life. you know, she was betrothed to what's his name? Joseph. So like she was engaged to Joseph. She was going to get married. And I'm sure that she had already planned her life. I'm going to get married to Joseph. I'm going to have children. We're going to move maybe here. This is what we're going to do. And all of a sudden, an angel just comes and tells you, you are highly favored. You are chosen. You are blessed. Like to tell you, your life is going to change completely. And that in itself is a blessing. You know, the way that we look at blessing, it's not the same way God looks at blessing. And I want to stress on that. Our definition of being blessed has to change. Or we need to come to the understanding of what it is. You know, most of the time when we talk about blessing, we only think about good things happening to us. You know, God bless me. God bless me with a car. Wow, Ella. God bless me with a baby. You know, God bless me, I'm pregnant. God bless me, I'm going to get married. God bless me with a promotion. They are all good. But there are times where the blessing of God has nothing to do with you and me. We are blessed so that we can be used in order to fulfill His purpose that will benefit other people. And in the process, we might go through trials. In the process, we might have to put aside our own plans. In the process, you know, we might have to go through many other things that we're not going to love. But this is because we have to fulfill the purpose of God. And that in itself is a blessing that God has chosen us in order to fulfill His purpose. Amen. You know, when you read the, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you will see what Mary went through for having accepted the will of God. Let it be done to me according to your will. And you know, she was honest. Lord, whatever is going to take, I am ready. Let your will be fulfilled in my life. And I wish we can come to that place where we can say, Lord, let your will be done. We know when Jesus went through the cross. Before the cross, at the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. Because he looked at it was hard, it was difficult, it was going to be painful. And he said, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by. But later he said, not my will, Lord, your will be done. Why? Because he had to go through that cross for you and me to be saved. So it wasn't about him, it was about you, it was about me. This is 2025. If we can end, we've already entered this year, but this is the beginning of the year. If we can make up our mind and say, Lord, whatever it is that is going to happen, any way that you want to use me, whether it takes me getting out of my comfort zone, Lord, I surrender to you. Not my will, but let your will be done. If I have to go through this so other people can be blessed, if I have to go through this so my community can change, if I have to go through this so my country can change, Lord, not my will, let your will be done. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to pay the price to see changes around us, to see changes in our community, see changes in our country. So it's not about us. When the Lord wakes you up 3 a.m. and say, get up, you need to pray. Maybe we don't understand why He's saying, get up, pray. But because He is in the future, He has already seen something that might happen here in Lee. And He say, Ella, wake up, you need to stand in the gap, you need to intercede. And guess what? Ella is sleeping, Lord. I'll do it later. I think, I'm tired, I need to sleep. And then you sleep. And then when you wake up, there's no need for that prayer again. Church, let's wake up. Our life is not about us. It's about Jesus. I love what Mary said. With God, no, the angel said to Mary, with God, nothing shall be impossible. When she asked the angel, how was that going to happen? And when you see Zachariah asks a question, Mary asks a question. For Zachariah, they shut his mouth. For Mary, they answered Mary. Now you can say, what is the difference when you read? The thing is that God knows the content of our hearts. You know, when we speak, God knows whether we're speaking out of faith or we're speaking out of doubt. Zachariah spoke out of doubt. He is a priest. I mean, he has record. God gave children to Abraham and Sarah while they were old. But Mary has never seen, you know, to be honest, a process where a woman has a child without, you know, normal relationship, normal sexual intercourse. And so she's asking a genuine question saying, how is that going to happen? I don't know a man. And so God knows, the angel knew that this is a genuine question. And the angel answered the question. And the angel said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. What is it that you're facing? What is it that you're going through? What is that challenge that you think it is impossible? But I'm here this morning to tell you that with God, everything is possible. We serve the God of impossibilities. You know, the God who walked on water, the God who made the blind to see, the God who raised the dead, the God who fed the 5,000. You know, with just how many loaves of bread? 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes, fed 5,000. We serve a God who is, I always say, an impossibility specialist. So whatever it is that you are expecting from him, stay put, keep praying, trust in God, dedicate your life to him. Let us make that resolution this year. I want to live for you, Lord. I want to walk with you, Father. Whatever is going to cost me, I will. By your grace, it's not personally. You know, by the grace of God, we can do it. I know if you keep on reading, you will read when Zachariah, after when they had the baby, Zachariah's mouth was unzipped, on mute. And he started talking. He said, what will the name of the baby be? Elizabeth said John, and they said, there is no John in your family. But then when he regained his speech, he said John. And everybody was like, whoa, there is something about this baby. And when he prophesied, if you read it, telling about the coming Messiah, what he would do, and telling what John was going to accomplish for the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is great. We serve a great God, and we need to know that we serve a great God. And not just that, we serve a God who loves us. In his greatness, in his might, he loves us. He chose me and you to serve him. And it is a privilege. Amen. So like Mary, whatever he asks us to do, let's. No, that's not convincing. Whatever he asks us to do, let's. Amen. Amen. You set yourself now, you know, up. And God is like, she said, I'll do it. Okay, you now. This is your assignment. Amen. So, Buddy's going to give us a song. And I just want us while we're singing that song and just, you know, recommit our life to the Lord. He said, this is my desire to honor you. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Let it not just be a song, but let it be words that we are saying to him, and we mean these words. Amen. This one.